Joseph has 4 dreams. In each of them, God speaks to him through an angel. The dreams make a good 4-part outline of the story. In the first dream, God tells Joseph not to fear taking Mary as his wife and the child as his own. And so he marries Mary and adopts Jesus. In the second dream, God tells Joseph to take his family to Egypt to escape Herod's violence in Israel and find refuge in Egypt. In the third dream, God tells Joseph to go back to Israel since Herod is dead and is no longer a threat. In the fourth dream, God tells Joseph to go to Nazareth because it is a safe city in Galilee and in Israel. Joseph's dreams remind us that God knows the thoughts and the intentions of every human heart, even those hearts bent on cruelty and evil like Herod. God warns Joseph to stay one step ahead each time. And so Joseph walks with the Lord and so uses him to preserve the lives of Mary and the child Jesus. Biblical scholars suggest that the gifts from the Magi, right down there, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh, helped Joseph make this journey into Egypt. They may have had to pay for safe passage there, or to even bribe officials when they arrived. Regardless, they had what they needed to sustain them until Herod's murderous madness was finally over. It's unbearable to think, isn't it, just how horrific and wicked Herod was to kill all the children in and around Bethlehem 2 years and younger. And yet, there it is, right there in the Bible. It's real. In fact, you can even go to Israel today and see the bones of the innocents in a cave. According to World Vision, today, there are 70 million refugees. They are being forcibly displaced from their homelands. More than half of them are children, just like the child Jesus. The top 5 countries are Syria, Afghanistan, South Sudan, Myanmar, and Somalia. Many Christians are targeted for violence throughout the world, a lot of which we don't even hear about in the news. And even at the borders of our country, the United States, there are many who are seeking asylum and safety from their homelands, which are too dangerous to return. Some are leaving their country of origin because of war, gang violence, and bounties on their lives, religious persecution, and human trafficking. It is an alarming thing to think about, isn't it, that Jesus and his family's flight into Egypt to escape the threat of death is not as uncommon a human experience as we might like to think it is. It is easy for us, perhaps, to live and to work and go home in the security of our neighborhoods and borders, and not realize the common plight of humanity all around us and all around the world. We're reminded again and again that God cares about the least of these, his sisters and brothers, the most vulnerable among us. Long before God's love was revealed to us through his Son, thousands of years before Jesus was born in a stable, God said to the people of Israel, "You shall not wrong, you shall not oppress a resident foreigner. For you also were foreigners in the land of Egypt. You shall not abuse any widow or orphan. If you do abuse them, when they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. You shall love the foreigner, God says, for you also were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I'm grateful that the president of our denomination and the president of the Northern Illinois District have both put out strong statements regarding our Christian duty to show hospitality and love to those who come to our communities from foreign lands. We, of all people, should know that God calls us to treat others, and especially their children, as we would want ourselves and our children to be treated. We are to love one another as Christ loved us. Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And that's quite something to ponder, isn't it? It's a beautiful thought that the Egyptians, at the day when Joseph came into Egypt, showed hospitality to the Word made flesh, someone who's greater than an angel, to the true Messiah, unawares. This is simply a fulfillment of the golden rule in the royal law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, does not get a lot of attention, but he is a fabulous and godly father to Jesus. He embodies the heavenly Father for us. Joseph adopts Jesus as his own, even though he's not his own flesh and blood. He preserves Jesus' life through his obedience, through his care and his love. He leads Jesus away from the threat of death into the sanctuary town of Nazareth. Jesus found refuge in his heavenly Father through his stepfather, Joseph. Like Joseph, God, our heavenly Father, adopts you and me as his own daughters and sons. Like Joseph, he preserves us, body and soul, through the wilderness of this life and through his obedience. Jesus suffers as a refugee, and as an adult, he suffers death for us, even though we are not his flesh and blood. Jesus is our divine coyote. He is our soul smuggler. He takes us safely and lovingly to the other side. He purchases a place for us in heaven, not with gold or silver or frankincense or myrrh, but with his own precious blood. He leads us away from the threat of sin, death, and evil by the power of his resurrected flesh. And he welcomes us into the sanctuary city of the new Jerusalem, where we are safe and at home and welcomed there. We are no longer refugees, foreigners, or aliens. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. He welcomes us. He takes us in as our own, as his own, and he brings us safely to our heavenly home. Jesus, the refugee, has become for us a refuge. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.